We're in the middle of a series called Unexpected, the Good News You Didn't See Coming. We've been walking our way through the book of Mark, looking at the transformational actions and teachings of Jesus. Today, we're going to focus in on Mark chapter 7, and I want to invite you to find that passage of Scripture and give it your attention as we look at it together in just a moment. Many of us can remember hearing a phrase from our earliest years. It goes like this: you can't judge a book by its cover. Many of us heard that from our parents, our grandparents, teachers, coaches, other people that were interested in trying to help us. You can't judge a book by its cover. The truth behind that little phrase is simply this: things are not always as they appear on the surface. Don't be deceived by what you just see with your naked eye. History proves this to be true. On December 7th of 1941, a Navy officer was on duty, and he noticed on his radar a large formation of planes heading towards Hawaii. Yet he put out this message to his colleagues. He said, "Don't worry about it. It's nothing." It was, of course, the first wave of Japan's attack on Pearl Harbor. In August of 1901, President William McKinley made this dogmatic statement. He said, "I have no enemies. Why should I be afraid?" He was assassinated a few days later. And in 1977, Ken Olson was the chairman of Digital Equipment Corporation. As he looked at the horizon of society and diagnosed the influence of technology on the world, he made this statement in 1977. He said, "There's no reason why any individual would need to have a computer in their home." I'll bet he could take back those words. We know that things are not always as they appear on the surface. Sometimes things look really good and beneath the surface there's disaster. Other times things don't look so good on the surface, but when you take a deeper look, you see incredible value there. Think about this. In 1954, the manager of the Grand Ole Opry made this statement to an aspiring artist he fired after one performance. He said, "You ain't going nowhere, son. You ought to go back to driving truck." And you might guess that aspiring artist fired after one performance was Elvis Presley. A Munich, Germany school teacher told a 10-year-old Albert Einstein, "You won't amount to much." Listen, friends, we know things are not always as they appear to be on the surface. We know it's true. Yet human beings like me and like you, we are prone to focus on the outside. That's true today, and it was definitely true when Jesus walked and ministered on this planet. The writers of Mark in the New Testament tell us over and over again about the religious leaders of that era constantly being in conflict with Jesus. Their conflict usually centered around the fact that the religious leaders were obsessed with following rituals and following rules, while Jesus always challenged them to look at the posture and position of their heart. Now, this kind of conflict takes center stage in Mark chapter 7. We're told about an encounter that Jesus had with religious leaders. And I want to ask you to look at this conversation with me, and I want to ask you to think about it in this context. Think about how Jesus is challenging everyone, those religious leaders he talked to in that moment, and us today, challenging us to reorient our thinking about life from just an outside focus to a look at the interior of our life. Jesus challenges us, rather than thinking just about the outside, to look at the inside. Rather than looking just at the surface, to look at our soul. Now, friends, this is a transformational way of thinking. It's a huge shift. Yet it's a theme that we see Jesus talk about again and again. And we see it throughout all of the other New Testament writings. A famous passage or statement from the Apostle Paul written to Christians living in Rome, Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Paul said, "Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think." Paul says, "Let God change your thinking." Jesus said, "Think not just about the outside, think about the inside." Now, if we're going to make this shift, we need help. We need the help of God's Spirit, because Jesus is challenging us to do something that is the very opposite of our normal tendency. So let's look at this conversation, this encounter between Jesus and the religious leaders. So I want to ask you, if you would, to look at this passage with me, Mark chapter 7. And in verse 1, it says this: "One day some Pharisees and teachers of religious law arrived in Jerusalem," or from Jerusalem, "to see Jesus. They noticed that some of his disciples failed to follow the Jewish ritual of hand washing before eating. The Jews, especially the Pharisees, do not eat until they have poured water over their cupped hands, as required by their ancient traditions. Similarly, they don't eat anything from the market until they immerse their hands in water. And this is but one of many traditions they have clung to, such as ceremonial washing of cups and pitchers and kettles." Verse 5 says, "So the Pharisees and teachers of religious law, they ask him, 'Why don't your disciples follow our age-old tradition? They eat without first performing a hand-washing ceremony.' And Jesus replied," listen to his statement, "he said, 'You hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship is a farce, for they teach man-made ideas as commands from God.'" Now think about that. Jesus says, "You're focused too much on an image. You're focused too much on just doing what looks right in the eyes of everybody around you." Jesus challenged them to reorient their thinking, to prioritize an authentic life, authenticity, over a perfect image. Now, when we read those words about hand washing, I suspect that you immediately thought about our present day situation. I mean, since the beginning of this pandemic, we have been told about the importance of hand washing until we can hardly stand to hear it anymore. We see it on TV commercials. We see it on internet advertisements. We see it on signs at the doors to bathrooms. And I got to tell you, I believe in hand washing. I think it's really important. In fact, I've said to my wife many, many, many times, I think there ought to be a bouncer at every men's restroom that's located in a restaurant, making sure every guy washes their hands. I believe in hand washing. But here's the reality. In Mark chapter 7, the concern of the religious leaders didn't have anything to do with dirty hands. Nope, that was not a part of the issue at all. You see, the issue was this. As a devout Jew, you performed a short ceremony washing your hands and your arms in a very specific way before you would eat. And if you didn't do it in that exact way, if you didn't use the exact prescribed technique, then you were supposedly violating a religious rule. So the issue isn't the fact that the disciples had dirty hands or they hadn't washed their hands. The issue was they hadn't done it in the way the religious leader said they needed to. They hadn't followed the correct ritual. So they confront Jesus and they say, "Why are they not doing it our way, the right way?" And Jesus responds with strong language. He says it, we read it together, and I want to refer you to it again. Jesus said, "You hypocrites." Now, many of you probably know the word hypocrite comes from a Greek word used to describe an actor in theatrical productions. Jesus says, "You are acting like you're worshiping God, that this is a spiritual issue, but your heart is not where it needs to be in relationship to God. You're pretending to be something on the outside with all of these rituals you're following that you are not on the inside." Jesus says there's something that doesn't match up here. You're pretending that you're worshiping God by doing all of this, but on the inside, all you're concerned about is what everybody else thinks. All you're concerned about is a perfect image. And then Jesus drives this point home by quoting from Isaiah. These religious leaders would have known the words of Isaiah by heart. And Jesus says, this prophecy is about you. God says, you are honoring me with your lips, with your rituals, but your heart is far from me, and your worship is fake. It's pretending. You're elevating man-made ideas on the same level as the truth of God's word. Jesus says, you need to reorient your thinking from being concerned about a perfect image to being concerned with an authentic life. You need to make sure that authenticity is prioritized over image. So could I just ask you to think about this question? Do I ever allow the right image to take priority over the motives, the inspiration, the authenticity of my life? Or maybe a more honest question is just simply this: is there any place in my life where I am pretending? Jesus says, you need to make sure that you're living an authentic life of worship to me. Not just going through the motions to create a perfect image. This encounter continues, and if you look in verse 8, you see another little section of a very meaningful scripture. Jesus says, you ignore God's law. You substitute your own tradition. He said, you skillfully sidestep God's law in order to hold on to your own tradition. And then he gives them an example. He says, Moses gave you a law that says you should honor your father and mother, and anyone who even speaks disrespectfully of their father and mother should be put to death. But Jesus said, you are saying that it's all right for people to say to their parents, sorry, I can't help you, for I have vowed to give to God what I would have given to you. And he says, in this way, you are disregarding needy parents, and so you're canceling out the word of God in order to hand down your own tradition. And Jesus says, you're doing this in lots of other areas. That's just one example. Jesus challenges them because they've put so much emphasis on their man-made traditions and methods. And he says to them, you need to reorient your thinking. You need to reorient your thinking, and you need to make sure that truth is over top of tradition. Truth always takes priority over tradition and method. Now, maybe a little background would help. The Pharisees had added hundreds of their own rules and regulations to God's law, and then they had tried to force people to follow all of these add-ons. They created traditions, and then they said, this takes the same weight, this has the same value as God's word or God's truth. In some cases, they had taken a difficult truth from God's word, and they had tried to get their way around it by saying, well, we have a fuller understanding now. And so they had kind of reasoned away or tried to sidestep their way around a difficult truth. And Jesus said, you're doing that with the command to honor your father and mother. Because you're saying, well, we're going to give it to God's temple treasury, and because we've promised it there, then we don't have to worry about helping our needy parents. Jesus says, you're just playing games. You're playing games with God's truth and God's word, and you're placing tradition over truth. Now, it's important for us to remember that Jesus is not against all tradition. In fact, Jesus followed all sorts of Jewish traditions. He observed many of them. But he challenges every single one of us to remember that a man-made tradition or a man-made method cannot ever be given the same status as God's truth. Friends, many of us have been challenged in this area during the last few months because our traditions that have been a part of our worship experience have been so disrupted. And we have been forced to really look at what does God's Word say about worship? What does God's Word say about the church? And we've been reminded over and over and over again that God's truth tells us that His church is about a people, not a place. That His church is about a gathering of people around a mission, not about a specific location. We've been challenged to prioritize, again, God's truth over tradition. And maybe an appropriate question for us today is to just think about where we have been tempted to elevate tradition to the same level as God's truth. Jesus says we need to reorient our thinking and make sure truth is prioritized over tradition. Let me ask you to continue in this passage with me and look at another section here where Jesus goes on in verse 14 to say to the crowd, all of you, listen. He said, try to understand. It's not what goes into your body that defiles you. You're defiled by what comes out of your heart, what comes out of the inside. Then Jesus went into a house to get away from the crowd, and His disciples, they were asking Him what the parable meant. And so Jesus explains it to them in verse 18. He says, can't you see that the food you put into your body cannot defile you? Food doesn't go into your heart, doesn't go into your soul, He's saying. It only passes through your stomach and then goes out into the sewer. By saying this, He declared that every kind of food is acceptable in God's eyes. And then He added, it is what comes from inside that defiles you, for it's from within, from out of a person's heart, that come evil thoughts and sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, wickedness, deceit, lustful desires, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. He says all of these things come from within. They are what defile you. You see, the religious leaders of this day, they had interpreted the dietary laws of the Old Testament to determine what made you pure or impure. And so they had tried to make sure they were pure before God or clean before God based simply on what they ate or what they drank. Their definition of purity had to do with what they refused to put inside of them in terms of eating or drinking. And Jesus said, you have it all wrong. You have it all wrong. He said, you need to look at what's inside of you, in your heart, in your soul, not just what you are taking in from the outside. Jesus said, purity or sinful actions don't begin or end with what you eat or drink. No, sinful actions, impurity, it begins with our thoughts, with our intentions, with our motivations, with what's going on inside of us. Jesus says, you need to focus there first. You need to prioritize. You need to reorient your thinking to what's inside before you simply start focusing on the outside. Friends, if we're honest, it is much easier to say, I am not going to eat or drink this particular thing, and have that be our definition of purity. It's easier to do that than it is to let the Holy Spirit deal with a critical spirit or to deal with gossip-filled conversation. Those are tough things. And they require you and I to humble ourselves before the Holy Spirit of God and allow Him to do a deep work inside of us. And it's so much easier just to focus on the outside, the exterior stuff. It's way easier to be more concerned about what's in somebody's refrigerator than what's in somebody's heart. But Jesus said, you need to make sure you're focusing on the right thing. And the right thing is to focus on what's inside first. Let the Holy Spirit of God deal with what's inside. Your motivations, your intentions, your desires, let God's Spirit work there. And as you let God's Spirit transform you from the inside out, you discover that what's inside begins to affect what's happening on the outside. And you focus on what's inside and letting God transform your motives and your desires, your hopes and your dreams, and you discover that your behavior begins to fall in line with what God's will and intention is for your life. Jesus said, it's what's inside that you need to prioritize. The outside will fall in line if you let my transforming Spirit work on the interior of your heart and in your life. This challenge of Jesus is so clear. Look inside before you look outside. Look beneath the surface instead of simply focusing on what you can see with your eye. You know, an iceberg may be nature's best example of this truth. When you look at this picture, you can clearly see that only about 10% of an iceberg is visible above the surface. It's what you can see. 90% of the iceberg is located below the waterline. You can't see what's there. But that 90% below the waterline, the 90% you can't see, ultimately is in control of what's above the waterline, what can be seen. And we ought to ask ourselves the question, what's beneath the surface in my life? Friends, if the captain of the Titanic would have asked, what's beneath the surface of this iceberg? He would have avoided disaster that sunk a ship considered unsinkable. And perhaps today we need to take the words of Jesus and we need to apply them to our own heart, and we need to say, Holy Spirit of God, would you help me take a look within? Or would you help me look beneath the surface, beneath the waterline? And would you help me, through the power of your Spirit, make sure that I'm living an authentic life, not just worried about a perfect image? Would you make sure, Holy Spirit, that I am prioritizing and living by God's truth, not just being tied to a tradition or a method? And Jesus, would you help us? Would you help us let your transforming power transform us from the inside out, as opposed to just being concerned about outside stuff? I don't know about you, but I need God's help in all of those areas of my life. And I want to ask you, if you would, just to join me in prayer, humbly asking God's Spirit to take these words of Jesus and to transform our life. God, we are so grateful today for your word and for the way that it speaks to us. We ask that right now your Spirit would touch our hearts in a powerful way, and that you would help us to never be pretending, never be playing games, never being just worried about a perfect image. But may we make sure that we are truly our hearts in tune with you, that we've opened our heart to you, that we've received your grace and your truth and your forgiveness, and that we're living by your purpose and your plan. God, would you help us make sure that we build our life solidly on your truth, never tradition. Traditions change, but your truth stands firm. And God, would you help us? Would you help us never to settle for just being worried about what's on the outside of our life? Help us never, never just settle for saying yes or no to a drink or to a food and neglecting the transforming power of what you want to do on the inside of us. God, May you so transform us on the inside that the outside of our life is so transformed that everybody can see it. We've been changed from the inside out. May it be true of us today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.